Today on Real Life Radio.
Paul says, I fight this way. Regarding my body, I don't swing at shadows. This is a great word. He means I have every step calculated in the release of energy in my life. I manage my life, he is announcing. Why? Because a grounded faith is an obvious faith. It's for real.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. We have a newly featured resource for you, and it's written by one of the most influential spiritual leaders of our day, the late Charles Stanley. In his powerful book called The Gift of Forgiveness, Stanley shares the key to personal peace. And he tells us that there is no sin that is so evil that it blocks God's forgiveness, the gift of forgiveness. It reflects the heart of Stanley's ministry and addresses such questions and thoughts as to how to practice forgiveness in all your relationships and how to make forgiveness an ongoing experience in your life.
We so much misunderstand the ministry of forgiveness. Please get a copy of this book for yourself. It will change your life, and you might be surprised to find out that forgiveness actually winds up setting you free.
The Gift of Forgiveness by Charles Stanley. It's our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. All you got to do is go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And order your copy today. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with the message titled Every Christian a Life. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and Paul's conversion to Christianity resulted in the single most powerful life witness for the gospel in human history. You see, Paul had a gift of influencing world culture. He was also a tremendous example of servanthood, ministry, and discipleship. Even today, Paul's arguments regarding salvation have been a model for attorneys on how to present a successful case. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that in the Christian life, our faith will be contagious, all of us running together toward the prize of eternity. Faith is having complete confidence in God, knowing that he who begins a good work within us will also complete it. Now, with his message called Every Christian a Life, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
A lot of people have misrepresented and mistaken verses 20 to 22. They think that Paul is a compromiser. I don't know how you could think of that unless you want him to be one so you can be one. You can't read Paul's life and think, well, this guy's got a little loose around the edges. No, look at verses 20 to 22. He says, watch this. He says, to the Jew, I became as a Jew. This is interesting because number one, he used to be a Jew. You say, what do you mean Jew? Yes, he's Jewish. He's DNA. The Bible tells us that he's from the tribe of Benjamin, of the stock of Israel. The Bible says he was circumcised on the eighth day, which is the day you're supposed to be circumcised. The Bible says concerning his zeal, you read, he's persecuted the church. The Bible says he's the guy. He says of his own life, concerning the law, I was blameless. Can you say that about you? Can I say that about me? Wow. But he came to Jesus. He came to Christ. And here is the point. What drives verses 20 to 22 is the cross in Paul's heart. Church, here it is. When was the last time you wept over the fact that you've got a loved one in your family that is on their way to hell? Do you care?
You say, well, hell, what? Hell, where? What?
The Bible says that without God, it's hell. The Bible says with God, it's heaven. Well, how do I get to heaven? Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Well, that's narrow. Of course it's narrow. It's got to be narrow. It was very expensive to God. But there's a real hell. And Paul is saying, look, God brought me out of Judaism. But I will go and dress up and wear the stuff, and I'll sit down, I'll eat the food, I'll do everything just for the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with them. Listen, I love you, but listen. Do we have that big of a burden for the lost souls that are in our lives? Or are we just fine if our moms or dads wind up in hell? or our sons and our daughters, when was the last time you got on your knees alone and said, God, because I remember praying every day before Rebecca came into our lives or Ashley came into our lives. I remember when Lisa was pregnant, I would put my hands like this over that rounding belly and I would pray, Lord, a lot of that's symbolic. I don't know if Rebecca or Ashley could hear anything in there. Didn't matter. God could hear. God understood. And when you think about your dad, do you love your dad? Do you love your mom? Do you love your kids? What about your neighbors? Do you have a sister? And I have to tell you, I don't remember. I can't tell you when's the last time I just wept for someone that I know is lost. I need to get back to that. I need to invest in that again. And in your own home and in my own home and those that we know, what about our bosses? What about those people? Any workers, any coworkers we have, any employees that we have? Do you care about them? To take them before the throne of God. See, in that context, Paul says, listen, I will not eat pork. I'll dress up like the Jews and hang out with Jews to give them the gospel. He won't hang out with Jews just to have falafel. He'll hang out with the Jews to give them the gospel. Okay? And then he says to those that are without the law, that's the Gentiles. Paul says, listen, I'll go to the Gentiles. What does that mean? Paul would say today, I'll go to a duck game. Paul the Apostle goes to a duck game. Paul would say, I don't go to duck games to go to duck games. I'm going to go to a duck game because I was invited by my boss to go to a duck game, and I'm going to take Jesus with me to the duck game. And I'm going to be asking God to open up the door every few moments. Lord, let me know, speak to me. When's a good time to bring you up? And that's always, by the way, you guys can have that. That's for free. Write it down. Ask the Lord in your life to open up the door of witnessing opportunity and make it obvious to you. When God does it, strike like a hot iron. You'll never fail. But you see, we don't see that dynamic happen in our lives because we're not asking. God, let me know when you want me to share with this guy. Watch what happens. Paul's not compromising by going to the duck game. And listen, don't think for a moment that when he goes to witness to unbelievers that he goes to Joe's Bar and Grill and cranks open a brewski and, hey man, I just want to share Jesus with you, brother, here. No, that's the way you want it to look like, but that's not the way it is. He never compromised. You know what? As a church, I hate these walls. I wonder how many more people would come and hear about the love of God if there were no walls and the people driving by the freeway or by the various avenues around here would just see people sitting down and what's going on in there? And we can hear people praising the Lord and worship. What's going on? Let's pull over. But no, these walls keep that from happening. We need to get outside of our bubble, guys. By guys, I mean guys and girls, guys, all us guys. We need to get out of our bubble. Do we go to our Christian church and then go to our Christian family and then we go to our Christian company and then we go to our Christian and it's all Christian? Well, when's someone going to get saved? Where are we going to go? There's some of you in this place today. There's probably women here that God is calling you to go reach out to the prostitutes down in Pomona. There may be some men here today where the Lord is calling you to reach out to some of the guys that are at the health club over here. I don't know, but we got to go get them. I don't care if they come here. I just care they get to heaven. And it's all about the power of the cross that does that. And his witness is through the Christian. That's what I'm talking about. Look at verse 23. Mark that down. Verse 23, it's his witness in the Christian life. Watch this. Now, Paul says, look, now this I do for the gospel's sake that I may be a partaker of it with you. Simply this, that the gospel is being watched and viewed through Paul's life. And Paul says, together we'll do this. We will reach the world together. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4, verses 12 to 13, and this is an amazing moment. You can read Acts 4 later. It's one of the most fun chapters of the Bible. The gospel's exploding. The church is growing. And Peter and John are on their way to the temple, and a great discussion breaks out and ministry takes place. And it says there in verse 12, Peter is speaking. He says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the name Jesus. Verse 13, now when they, that's the bad guys, when the bad guys saw the boldness of Peter and John, watch this. Number one, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained. Okay, whatever's going on, they go, these guys are uneducated. They've got, these guys did not graduate from any school nearby. Look, they marveled. The word marveled, we get the word also that they were impressed or admired them. Why? Because look at the next line. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Jesus had long been resurrected. He was back in heaven. Christian, listen. The more you have of Jesus and the more time you spend with Jesus, the more your preaching is effective. You say, Pastor, I don't want to open my mouth. I'm not talking about opening your mouth. I'm talking about living your life. The life of a Christian. Day in, day out. How you love. How you care for people. How you think. You're different. That's preaching. It's not mouthing. It's the life you're transmitting out of you 24/7.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
This word perceived, the Greek word is, watch this, it's a huge definition in English. The Greek word means that they recognized a distinguishing mark of identity upon them. They had a mark. Every Christian has a identity mark on them. You guys remember Mikhail Gorbachev? Yeah. How do you know if you're really talking to the Mikhail Gorbachev? There's a lot of people who look like him. He looks like everybody's grandfather. By his head. What about his head? He had a huge birthmark on his head. Boom, right there, birthmark. That is Mikhail Gorbachev. Hey, you know what? Boom, right there. That is a Christian. How do you know? Look at the love coming out of that person's life. They're just loving all over the place. Caring, concern for others, being kind to people, telling the truth in love. Look at them. They oozing Jesus. That's the way it ought to be. Third and final point is this, you guys, verses 24 to 27. And this to me gets really down to my heart. God completes his work. You need to hear this today. God completes his work. Look at verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? Okay, stop right there. There's a comma right there, but stop right there. You ever seen a race? Have you ever been in a race? Does anyone walk in a race? Everybody in a race runs. Some run faster than others, but everybody runs. Paul is saying every Christian has got heaven in view. Now our group is going to get a little smaller. Every Christian has got the ultimate goal in mind. It's heaven. It's all about heaven, constantly about heaven in our lives. We make our decisions based upon heaven. What will this decision translate into heaven? You say, Jack, are you serious? I'm dead serious. What I decide today, how will it affect the lives of my family or this church regarding the name of Jesus and the witness? Because listen, do I have the ability to mess up everything? The answer is yes. You can slap me right now. You can say, yes, I have the ability to mess things up. Don't you have the ability to make things crazy in your life? Yes. I don't want that to happen. So Paul is saying, okay, here's the bottom line, and here is wrapping it up. Running a race, everybody in the race runs to win. They've all qualified. They're all in the Olympics. They're all ready to go. Every one of them has hopes of winning, right? But he says right here, only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Discipline your life. Be committed. Go for it. Finally, it's the end of the age, church. What are we doing flirting around with the world and playing with it for? Think about this. He's saying run. And here's the deal. We are to run after Jesus with all of our hearts, single-eyed, single heart, single mind, right? He says, you run with a purpose. You don't run in a race and you're running up the grandstands, coming down, going to the concession stands, going to the bathroom, back on the course, run for a little bit, run. You don't do that. But too many times as Christians, we live like that. I've met Christians who go from church to church to church to church. They don't even realize that they've fallen into a satanic trick. They go from church to church to church to church to church to church to church. They never get involved. They never serve. They're like little bees going around sampling the flowers. And the churches that they visited, they continue to grow. But that little bee Christian never grows. They never grow. That's like the guy running and he's running all over the place. Paul says, no, run in such a way. Be committed as a believer. Okay, watch this. It gets fun and convicting at the same time. An act of faith, you guys, will be contagious. This is great. Have you ever seen someone run? They start running. I've seen dogs do this. It's hilarious. Something goes off and a dog starts to run. And then the other dogs, they don't know what they're doing and they start running with it. Have you seen that happen? It's hilarious. I've seen people do that. Somebody will go like this and people will go, what? Have you seen that happen? It's kind of funny. But there's a tendency when somebody goes, I'm going to run. And people go, what are you going to run? I'll run with you. An act of faith is contagious. Down deep inside, even an atheist knows, man, I need to do something with my life. Hey, Mr. Atheist, get up and run with us. We confess and we believe you won't be an atheist for long. God will touch your heart. Secondly, it's this. A grounded faith will be obvious. A grounded faith will be obvious. Look at verse 26 at the latter end of it. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air. This is classic. The word shadow box. Paul says, I fight this way. Regarding my body, I don't swing at shadows. This is a great word. He means I have every step calculated in the release of energy in my life. I manage my life, he is announcing. Why? Because a grounded faith is an obvious faith. It's for real. And look, we're wrapping this up, but you need to hear this as I drive this home. Here's the thing. If you're a Christian today, our group's getting smaller now. If you're a Christian today, you know something. You know that ever since you became a Christian, your whole world has changed. And one of those things is that you know you have a renewed mind. Your mind thinks different. And the Bible tells us that our mind is renewed. And we have that renewal process by the Bible, the Word of God. Secondly, we've been given a new heart. We have a brand new spirit going on inside of us. And that's good news. And so we got all these things going, and lo and behold, you say, well, what's the problem? And this is only true for the Christian. You still have this body. What did you do this morning when you got up? You had to wash it. I don't know how we get dirty sleeping, but we get up, we have to wash it. And then we have to put cologne or perfume on it, or formaldehyde, whatever works. Why? Because it's dying. It's stinking more. You get older, you put more on. It's tough hugging old people. And now I'm one of them. It's like, you just empty the bottle on you. Growing up, I remember my parents stinking so bad. I remember, oh, my parents stink. And then now my kids go, man, you guys stink. It's because we're dying, man. Listen. We've been redeemed. We've got a renewed mind, getting ready for heaven. We've got a brand new heart in us, a brand new spirit within us, given to us by God. That's a gift that the Lord gives to every one of his kids, is a new life. But we're still dragging this body around, right? This hasn't happened. We've not lost this yet. That's what the resurrection's for. This is good news. Listen, for the Christian, when death comes, it's like, get it off. Get this thing off of me. For the Christian, the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. Why? Get this body off me. Someday we're going to, the Bible uses the word to weigh anchor from a ship, to cut the rope and the anchor drops regarding the body. Paul says in Timothy, it's time for me to weigh anchor, cut the rope, let this anchor fall, I'm going home. That's the life of a believer, but that's the struggle. This is what he's talking about. Look at the verse 27. It's victorious. A mature faith will be victorious. Verse 27, and we're done. He says, but I discipline my body. He didn't say his mind. He didn't say his soul or his spirit or his heart. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, obedience. Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Doesn't mean he's going to lose his salvation. He's saying the war between what I know is right and my flesh, if I make the wrong move and I obey my flesh, I could disqualify my life, Paul said. Christian, this is true for all of us. I want you to think about this for a moment. People are watching you. And what you don't want is for God to say, hey, Betty, I'm sorry, but you've disqualified yourself. You've blasphemed my name. Didn't Moses do that? Moses, of all people. He didn't get to go into the promised land. Why? He misrepresented God. Think about it. I could be at some store. I could be out. I could be at a baseball game and yell some profanity, and everybody looks and says, that's the pastor of that church. It's over for me. Done. We could make a decision. We could do something that the flesh is demanding. Have you noticed how demanding this thing is? I want this. Paul says, hey, verse 27, hey, sit in the back. He tells his flesh, calm down, sit down. See, we get up in the morning and our flesh goes, I'm hungry for pancakes or something. Peanut butter pancakes with a banana on it, whipped cream on the top. What says that? Not your spirit. Your mind's not saying it. It's the flesh. And the flesh says, it's too hot in here. And the flesh says, it's too cold in here. Listen, and we start to complain. You know why we complain? It's the flesh. The flesh is getting the stronger part of us. And the flesh starts griping about stuff. Paul says, hey, get back here. He got up in the morning and said, sit down. You'll be in the back seat today, flesh. And the spirit of the man led his life. And you and I make that decision every day. I'm going to live for the flesh or I'm going to live for the spirit. And here's the deal. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, the Christian lives for the spirit life. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then our attendance here just got a little smaller. Because if you don't have that battle going on in your life, then you're none of God's. You're none of Jesus's family. You're religious, but you don't have him in you. What a radical faith you and I have. We're the only faith in the world, in the history of mankind, where our God moves inside of us. Our God came. We're the only faith in the world where our God dies for us. We don't die for our God. Isn't that amazing? He died for us. And then he puts his spirit in us and he says, okay, now live for me. You live for me, and you preach by your lifestyle to every man, woman, boy, and girl you see in this world. That is our privilege, that is our right, that's our liberty, and that is our divine slavery to the King.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Every Christian a Life. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians, a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Are you searching for answers these days in a world where truth is hard to find? Well, my friend, as you heard in our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to learn more about what that means to you personally, just go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and then click on that tab there that's labeled Know God. And there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. You know, Jack Hibbs truly believes that we are living in some of the most exciting days in history. which brings some great opportunities to share with the world a powerful, no-nonsense presentation of the gospel to this generation who, by the way, are really searching for answers and for truth. Will you stand with us in sharing this message in real and practical ways? We ask that you commit to support Real Life and the teachings of Jack Hibbs with a gift of your choosing. Simply go to jackhibbs.com. There you'll find instructions on how to give a one-time gift or a recurring gift. If you'd prefer to call, here's that phone number, 877-777-2346. One more time, 877-777-2346. Your gift will be faithfully put to work because it's our desire that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.